to Fitfluential Radio, the intersection of fitness, health, wellness, and modern medicine. 50% education, 50% motivation. We're here to help you find your fitness. Tune in weekly for interviews with some of the most respected and experienced names in the business, providing actionable insights for you in every episode. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's roll. Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is part two of my two-part interview with Hannah Jamros, who's also known as the Ripped Barbie on Instagram. If you haven't listened to part one, please be sure to go back and listen to part one. Enjoy this interview with Hannah, also known as the Ripped Barbie. We've actually been working. One of our clients is Sleep Number, and I have a Sleep Number bed. And I remember when I first got out of college, I bought like a real piece of shit mattress, and you know, because I was too cheap to buy anything. And when you have a good bed and you really make sleep a focus, it does affect everything. And back to some of the things that I referenced earlier, you know, the stuff I'm going through, the adrenal fatigue, when you overtrain and undereat, and you have a high stress environment, and you just jack your hormones and your cortisol, sleep is very important. And one of the biggest things I have to focus on is, just like you said, my training. Like, I'm allowed to do 3 days of lifting a week, and 3 days I do yoga, and 1 day off. And it's hard for me to get to still go, okay, first of all, this is a phase where I have to heal my body and train a certain way. I can add in stuff later when my body's repaired. But it's hard because if you have been conditioned in whatever way to think that, like you said, I'll sleep when I'm dead, sleep's not important, got to get up, got to push, got to work out 6 days a week. I mean, I had a bodybuilder guy who was training me for a while. And I mean, he not only had me on the bro diet, which was 6 meals a day. For everybody listening, bro diet is like chicken, broccoli, rice, like carrying around your Tupperware and thinking that's all you can eat. It still permeates the bodybuilding and the figure competition space to many degrees. It's a lot of a mindset of excessive cardio. This guy had me doing 20 minutes of fasted HIIT training cardio every morning, 20 minutes of fasted HIIT training before bed, or 30 minutes. And then when I would go to the gym, I would train for an hour and lift and an hour of cardio after that. And then the bro diet. And one week he had me eating salmon only and eggs and no carbs. And I, let's just say, constipation came to visit me in a way that I don't ever want to go again. That's not good, people. But if you have that conditioning, it's hard to think that like Hannah's programs, you could make progress for 45 to maybe a max of an hour workouts a week. But like you said, and maybe you can elaborate a little on that, you know, this concept that muscles are built, am I saying that right? Like that muscles are built when you're resting. Like, why is the rest day, in addition to sleep, you've obviously covered that. Why is the rest day and not training every single day and overtraining, why is that so important?
Well, it's crucial because you're tearing your muscle fibers every time you work out, and especially with CrossFit. God, I try to tell so many people, like, quit training 5 days in a row with CrossFit. You've got to rest your body, because even on a rest day, not just sleeping, that's when your muscle fibers are repairing. That's when you're building your muscle, and you need to be stretching and rolling out on those days, because you're just going to be tearing your body down. And when you're doing that and not letting it recover, that's when your cortisol levels get messed up, your hormone levels. That's when you're feeling tired all the time and moody because of your hormones are messed up. So it's super crucial. I cannot stress it enough. Even at my local gym, like, I have a lot of people, they've been doing CrossFit, I don't know, maybe a year or two or whatever, and they're so hard in the paint, telling me how sore they are. And I'm like, girl, you gotta rest. Like, rest.
I think, you know, coming from, you know, we founded Fitfluential in 2011, and that's, I feel like 2012, I could be wrong, but that's when CrossFit was really experiencing a lot of growth. And one of our earliest clients was Reebok. And, you know, we did a lot of stuff with them at the CrossFit Games in 2012 and 2013, and a whole bunch of bloggers and influencers in our community, they got into CrossFit. And, you know, to be honest with you, at that point, I was not. And we used to roll our eyes because it was like, there was a lot of the stuff permeating the fitness space where people were like, oh, I thought I was working out until I did CrossFit. And there just were so many CrossFit douchebags that were like the paleo police. And they just were so elitist. Like, if you don't do CrossFit, you're not working out. Now, it seems to have calmed down a lot more. And people that I don't see as many people going, I'm a CrossFitter. They'll say, and this is what I love it. You know, like when you shared your evolution, you're like, well, I do some jujitsu. I do this. I train at home. I've got this. You're not labeling yourself. And people have found it really is more about let's find what works for me and what gives me balance and what rewards me and what I like. But on the other hand, CrossFit is still very, very popular. Would you say, do you think it still is a thing in that environment, in the CrossFit world, for lack of a better way of saying it, that most people are pushing it too far and training too hard and not taking enough time off? Do you see that? And I'm not asking you to make a judgment. I'm just curious. Do you still observe that people tend to be pushing it too hard if they belong to a CrossFit box?
I think if you, even like you mentioned in 2011 with the whole like certain diets and, you know, way of training, 3 days on, one off, everybody's got to do it. That's what pushed me away from doing it. I'm like, I'm not about to be a part of that clique that everybody makes, or the cult. Everybody calls it the cult. It's so funny. But nowadays, I'd say not as much, to be honest. I mean, there's always going to be people that run themselves into the ground, even at bodybuilding gyms, but or any type of gym. But I would say I totally know what you're talking about, and not as much, which is good. And I wouldn't even say CrossFit died down. I would just say that, well, it's maybe becoming more balanced. It also depends on what kind of gym you go to and what the owner's preaching and what the coaches are preaching too. So honestly, it really depends, because I've been a part of so many CrossFit gyms and each gym is so different. Whereas like some gyms will have, you know, every workout will be super intense. I was a part of a gym like that, and that's what pushed me away from CrossFit. And like the gym I go to now, they'll do like a crazy workout one day and then like a 10-minute one lightweight the next day. They're super good at balancing it.
I used to as well. You know, you said I used to make fun of CrossFit. I mean, in the early days, from a business perspective, you know, like I still remember like the CrossFit headquarters people, like, and I think one of the guys who was in their legal department was let go recently for something scandalous, but they used to like harass us because our clients, it was like GNC and Reebok, and we would use CrossFit as the hashtag, and they would say, you're not allowed to use the hashtag because you don't have a CrossFit box and you're not.
Wow, seriously?
And I'm like, you know, that's free press, right? And they were, so to me, we ended up really, it was very problematic. They would look at our Pinterest boards and go, you need to take that pin down because that person said CrossFit. And I'm like, wow, bro, like you've got some issues, but
that doesn't even surprise me though.
I know. And it was very arrogant, very elitist back in those days. And, you know, again, I have seen a lot of lives changed by it. I've had several folks that were my peers and my colleagues in the corporate space who used to be so out of shape. And I do think that for so many of them, people that have not been working out or into fitness at all, they really tend to find their fitness groove at a CrossFit box a lot of times, and they find a good place. So by no means, I don't want anyone listening to think that I am, or Hannah, I certainly don't think it's coming across from you. This is not criticizing CrossFit. I used to make fun of it. And people know as well, when I started training with a trainer here at Gold's Gym last year, Blaine, it was much more of what I'd call air quotes, like CrossFit style moves, things that I never thought I could do or would do or want to do, like overhead squats and real deadlifts. And I was like, I loved it. Now, truth be told, I was overtraining, and he was, you know, I don't think he realized how much of the thyroid and cortisol issues and adrenal fatigue issues I had. So I was pushing it too hard, and that's why I had to stop. But it was some of the best training I ever had. And the truth is, I can see myself maybe joining a box or training sometime at a CrossFit box in the future. So I'd encourage everybody, if you're listening to this, to just keep your mind open and try things until you find what you like. And that's what is so cool about you, Hannah, is that you're not an elitist. You're not judgmental. You provide a ton of education and motivation, and you're just down to earth. So people will pick
you. I will say a few years back, honestly, when I did bodybuilding and I was super young, still young, but I was very judgmental, and I realized like towards people and fitness and looking at people and judging them. And I realized like, it's not making me happy. It's not making other people happy when I talk crap about them, when we still all have our moments. But like, I've become a lot more positive and a lot more open-minded about it. Mm-hmm. And just for anybody listening, it makes life a lot happier and just you a better person, obviously, overall. So absolutely. 90 really days from 5 years ago to now, that's for sure.
I would say that too. And I catch myself all the time, but same, the difference is, you know, when you focus on mindfulness, you will. Like sometimes I see somebody and if they're really heavy, I'm like, gosh, how can you let yourself? I do. I'd be lying if I said, I don't immediately have that thought, but I immediately am able to see it and then start to think of that person with compassion. Like, I don't know what's happened in that person's life. And considering all the shit storms that I've been through, I need to give that person compassion and love and go, you freaking go. If you're going to the gym and you're on the treadmill, who am I to judge that you're not lifting weights? Like you're here, you're showing up. That's freaking awesome. And yeah that's what you do. It's not about being, we all have thoughts. I have bad thoughts every day. I just work on them. Okay.
So. I know. It gets better each day too. So I've come a long way.
It does. Well, one of the things, and we're kind of getting close to the end, but we talked a lot about, and I feel like we've just scratched the surface. So I definitely will talk and I want to get you back on the show. But we talked today a lot about more the working outside and we've made some really good points. And I think for sure when we close up, I want you to tell people where they can find you because you've got incredible programs. I've seen some of your clients, your before and afters, and just hearing how you said, you know, a lot of your most popular programs are 4 days a week and focused on rest and you live by example. One of the things we haven't talked about as much, and this is, I've learned a lot from you and my dietitian works with me on this approach to eating, which is, you know, balancing macros. And for a lot of people, they hear this and they're completely like, what the hell is that? I don't understand.
What's the macro?
Yeah. Now, what would you like, how would you describe the way that you eat and the way that you tend to teach your clients? And for somebody who's completely clueless when they hear macros, how do you describe it? And do you think it's as complicated as some people when they first look at it and they see MyFitnessPal and they're like, are you kidding me? I don't know how to do that. How do you describe macros to the beginner?
Well, I would say I was a beginner before also. I'm self-taught with it. And I remember when I first started counting macros, I thought when I was using my fitness pal that, okay, as long as I eat my 2000 calories today, like I'm good. And then I was looking more into it and I was like, holy crap, just like everybody else, what am I doing? How am I going to fit this much protein, this much carb, that much fat, right? Well, just like anything new, it's going to look intimidating. It's going to look complicated, just like walking into a gym for the first time. But once you get the hang of it, it's a lifestyle. And honestly, following macros, which for just anybody who doesn't know, it's the breakdown of your protein, carbs, and fats. And your nutrition coach, like myself, would give you your protein, carb, and fat broken down to you. And it's up to you to eat whatever foods you would like and fit those within your macros for the day. And that's what allows balance versus like bro dieting or keto or whatever diet that, you know, you tried last week or last year. And it's not a diet because you're not food restricted by any means, unless you have a health issue and you need to cut out gluten or whatever it is. And it's really just a way of life. It's a balance because you're eating just a protein, carb, and a fat every day and eating an amount that is good for you and you're not restricted. You can have that piece of cake. For example, last week I had a little kid's birthday party, one of my really good friend's kids, and I knew they were going to have pizza and I knew they were going to have cake. I fit two pieces of pizza and a cake in my macros and I was golden. And I woke up lighter for the week. So no, I don't eat like that every day, but it teaches you balance. It teaches, like, I used to binge eat a lot. And so I have mastered to, you know, do what I did last week, fit it within your macros. And that's what you can do. Also, you can, no matter what your goal is, whether you're trying to lose weight, gain weight, maintain, macros are for anybody and also any age as well.
It's so true.
When you're 60.
And it can really help you. I will say this, two things that have helped me a lot and that I think are fantastic. I'm not doing it now because again, I'm in a look at me as special circumstances child right now. I'm healing adrenal fatigue. And there's certain things that you have to do to be very gentle to the body and the metabolism. And so I used to do intermittent fasting and then incorporate my macros. And now for sure, I'm incorporating macros. But one of the things, some people will automatically dismiss it because they'll see that somebody who counts their macros posts that they, you know, had birthday cake or whatever, or that they had Pop-Tarts. And then they're like, oh, these people are eating junk and how is that healthy? Here's the thing. If you are reasonable, macros allow you that if someday on the weekend you want to have Pop-Tarts for breakfast with coffee, you know, that's not really protein. So it'd be a, you know, if you got to the point where you're really getting it, you'd be like, okay, I should have Pop-Tarts with some egg whites or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you get it, but you'd also kind of get to the point where it's like, you know, like for me, two Pop-Tarts in a box, that's 400 calories. Let's get real. I could eat three sleeves of Pop-Tarts. That's six. That would be, wait, is that four? That'd be 1200 calories. And would I be full? No. That's not, you know, for me, I'm around 1800 calories. So you start to get wise and go, okay, could I have it three packages of Pop-Tarts and fit it in my macros? Yeah. But you would be gnawing your hand off by the end of the day because you wouldn't be full. So
yeah, that's what I like to call empty calories.
Exactly.
Not so nutrient dense.
It will let you take, I think for me, macros have removed, and I did more of reverse dieting with Emily when I started, and it really removed, because I've had binge, like a binge mindset too, where I would binge in private and throw all the food away and then start a new extreme diet the next day. And when you allow yourself to eat whatever you want, it takes a while, but then food loses its power over you. And then you start to just go, what does my body need? And I don't want to be gnawing my hand off at the end of the day knowing, well, that's great. I had 1700 skinny cows today, like I used to back in the day, but I'm not full. So just know if you see people counting macros and you're looking at it skeptically, a lot of people will put out a lot of, you know, here's my macro friendly Oreo egg white thing. They don't eat like that every day.
No, and not every meal. It may be like one meal a day. So that's what I preach to all my clients. That's what I specialize in, is focusing on macros more than even workouts. Fitness is just overall part of my life. But that's what I tell them. Like they always come to me. So do you just write my macros or do you tell me what to eat also? No, I don't tell you what to eat because that takes the balance and lifestyle aspect of it away. Okay. So like, what's the point in me hiring you? Well, the point is I'm giving you exactly what you need. I give you all the tools you need, but you need to implement it. If you're going to eat like Oreos on top of your macros, that's not my fault. You're losing weight. And I'm super blunt in that aspect. Like you need to put the work in, but I tell them 80% whole nutrient dense foods, but save that 20% for that piece of pizza or like that cookie you want at the end of the day. Whatever it is that you usually crave, fit it within your macros. And that way you're killing two birds with one stone by waking up lighter the next day, accomplishing your goals, and then also satisfying your cravings, which allows you to succeed in any goal that you're trying to accomplish. Whereas coming from the past, I tried keto. I did the bodybuilding diet for way too long. Then I also just binge ate for a long time too. And this has worked for the last 4 years. Obviously, this is the longest time I've done it and preached it to people. So
it really is. And it's changed. I am so much more. In fact, I hired my dietitian just a little over 90 days ago, Emily, and she's going to be on the show too. And, you know, again, we took that first 90 days to address my mindset because I had gotten to the point where because of all of my years of trying to fix my hormones and overtraining and undereating, I was scared of all food. I second guessed everything I ate. I was binging in private. And we took those 90 days to slowly get me eating more. And then I got comfortable with everything where now I don't, like, if I have a piece of pizza, I'm not like, oh my God, what is that? You know, what's the cheese going to do? Oh, I had a pepperoni. I eat it. And you know what? I don't want to eat the whole thing. And it really is balance. And I will say, when you brought up what you said in there, where some people will come to you and go, why would I hire you? I'm going to do a hard plug for not only Hannah, but just folks in this profession in general. Whether they're dietitians, nutritionists, trainers, coaches, whatever, there really is a huge, huge difference. And if you can make it work in your budget to hire a trainer or an online coach like Hannah, somebody who is going, who knows what they're talking about, has mm-hmm. the credentials, the experience, the expertise, and the clients to show, you know, the client roster, the portfolio. I can't tell you how much that accountability, that guidance, and just somebody telling you what to do, it's game changing. Once I started working with a personal trainer, I realized how completely random and lost I was with my workouts. I used to go to the gym, and if I had it my way, every day was shoulder day or leg day. And those were the only things I would train, shoulders and legs, instead of, you know, and I was so imbalanced and I was overtraining and under eating. When you invest your money into somebody and they can help you, my life has changed because of working with a therapist, working with a personal trainer, working with my dietitian. Mm-hmm. It is money well spent. You think you can do it yourself? I dare you to invest in somebody else to hold you accountable and to be your guide, because you'll see more and more folks that we're going to have on this show who will say, yeah, it wasn't until I took things up a notch and I thought I was eating healthy, but I wasn't eating enough. I signed up for this program. I hired this nutritionist. I hired this coach. Don't underestimate how that can transform your life. There's a reason why these people who are experts have all of these, you know, loyal fans, and they have these transformational photos, because those people took it up a notch and invested in themselves. And when you invest in yourselves, you do the work. So right. Hannah did not ask me to do, she didn't ask me to do that infomercial for her, but I totally did it because I have lived it. Once I started putting money towards these things, my whole life changed. So
yeah, she's making my head big, just so you guys know.
You deserve a big head. You are awesome.
No.
And, but that said, you know, I've totally pushed us up right to the window. Tell people, Hannah, and of course we'll link this up in the show notes, where can they find you on your website, where they can tune in and peruse all of the online training programs that you have? And then where can they find you on Instagram and become obsessed with you?
So the first thing, my Instagram is The Ripped Barbie. It started as a joke and then stuck. So, I mean, I still laugh at it when people ask my handle. So The Ripped Barbie, and my website for nutrition coaching, and I am taking on clients, and then my workouts and my new all home program workout that doesn't require any equipment for all you busy moms, dads, or business people, whoever. You can check my website out at handjamfitness.com. So it's just handjamfitness.com. And then let me know if you have any questions. I would love to work with you.
You are awesome. I cannot recommend her enough. And Hannah, thank you so much for being on the show. You know, I'm like your hugest fan, and I can't wait to have you back on. And
no, you're
keep
awesome.
Doing what you're doing, wait, because yeah. you're such one of the rarities in this fitness business. And you've improved my life so much just by, you know, being here and motivating me every day. You motivate the hell out of me. So you're awesome. I can't wait to hang with you in person someday. That'll be a dream, and go through one of your workouts in person. But for everybody listening, thank you so much for tuning in. If you have any questions on this episode, or that we can, of course, we encourage you connect with Hannah directly. But if you have any questions that you want us to cover when we have Hannah back on the show, you can email those to podcast@fitfluential.com, and that will get to me as well. If you're interested in sponsoring the show or future shows, you can email us there as well for business inquiries. Thanks everybody so much for tuning in. We will see you next time on Fitfluential Radio. Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to this interview with Hannah, also known as the Ripped Barbie. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, we would really love it if you would go and take 2 to 3 minutes of your time, head on over to iTunes, and not only make sure you are subscribed, but if you could leave us a review of this podcast, give us your honest opinion. We'd really love it. I think that you'd agree we've interviewed a fantastic selection of trainers and transformation stories and doctors and all kinds of practitioners, and we'd really love to be able to get this information out to more people. One of the best things that I hear is when people write into me and say, oh my God, I'm so glad I discovered your show. This helped me find a solution for my daughter. This helped me figure out my Hashimoto's. This helped me figure out why I'm not sleeping. This helped me figure out this issue my husband's been dealing with. Whatever the case, that's why we're spending the time and money to produce this show, and we would really appreciate any time that you could take 2 to 3 minutes to leave us a review on iTunes. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time.